السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم، من همزه ونفخه ونفثه. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، لا سيما المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. All praise be to Allah alone, we praise Him and we seek His help. Whomsoever Allah guides is a truly guided one, and whomsoever Allah leads astray, none can guide. I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah alone, and I bear witness that Muhammad, peace be upon him, is His last messenger. Brothers and sisters, it is indeed a pleasure to be amongst you tonight. Thank you so much for inviting me. I'd like to thank the host and all the people who are behind this great work. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from all of us and grant us sincerity. It is just a bit hard to be standing before all of you. All of you can see me, but I can see none of you. And before I begin, our topic is about changing our condition. It is also related to the change. Sheikh Mufti Mink reminded me with an incident that happened to me almost 20 years ago in the States. When I was fairly new there, and I had a college student, he once complimented me for a pair of shoes that I was wearing, and he said, Mr. Omar, I love your shoes. I said, tafaddal. And you know the word tafaddal, the Arabic tradition, like, you can have them. So he shocked me and said, really? And I was stuck. I said, yeah. And guess what? He collected my shoes. Yes, wallahi. And I had to change. And I had to figure out that when you really say tafaddal, you really mean it. As Mufti Mink said, to be genuine. More than 10 years later, maybe 15, I was given a khutbah in one of the masajid in North Carolina. And after the khutbah, normally people tell you, mashallah, nice speech, I love your speech, etc. But this guy who's a revert told me, Sheikh, I love your shoes. I guess you can guess my reply. I said, and I love them too. So, the host who was watching me outside said, you're very clever. How did you figure this out? I said, it wasn't for free. So I changed. The change and change in our condition is actually an individual and communal demand as well. Everybody loves to change. Normal people love to change to the better, of course. Whether individually, on a family level, community level, to the better. The concern varies though. Some people love to change their financial conditions. Some people love to change where they're living at. Some people have a high zeal and they aim high. They think about changing to the better with regards to their relationship with Allah. How to grow nearer and nearer to Allah. How to become beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How to secure a seat in heaven, not just a seat in heaven. The highest place in heaven. In order to achieve so, we have to comprehend the mechanism of doing so. Things do not happen coincidentally or by chance. And the change does not happen all of a sudden or overnight. The only change which happens overnight is a devastating one, such as earthquakes, volcanoes. But the constructive change takes time. It builds up. Because of that, we have to plan. We have to aim high. Benjamin Franklin said, if you fail to plan, then you plan to fail. And this is absolutely true. And there are many references, whether in the Quran or in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in this regard. With regards to the change, The Quran refers to it in two different positions. In ayah number 11, in one of the segments of Surah Ar-Ra'd, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُوا مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Most surely Allah does not change the condition of a people until they change their own condition, which means until they're willing to change and until they act upon the change. They take the initiative. They think, they plan, they take some serious measures, they do some work. They do not just wish. We have a long list, wish list. But in order to achieve these items in our wish list, we have to plan and we have to try to execute these plans step by step. As the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, which is narrated by Abu Hurairah, may Allah be pleased with him. المؤمن القوي خير وأحب إلى الله من المؤمن الضعيف وفي كل الخير. The powerful believer is better and dearer to Allah than the weak one. Even though they're all okay, they're all good, but one who is preferred to Allah and is dearer to Allah is the one who's قوي. Powerful in what sense? Sense of iman, perhaps. Sense of physical fitness, why not? Financially, of course. And that's why in another segment it explains what I meant by saying, وَالْيَدُ الْعُلْيَا خَيْرٌ مِّنَ الْيَدِ السُّفْلَى. The upper hand is better and dearer to Allah than the lower hand. What does it mean? The upper hand is the hand which normally gives. And the lower one is the one which normally bags and takes. The one who gives is dearer to Allah and better than the one who takes, is making an effort and assisting others. Furthermore, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, احرص على ما ينفعك. Be very keen to do and achieve what is useful for you. واستعن بالله ولا تعجز. And in an attempt to achieve so, seek the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Plan, draw a strategy, try to execute this plan and utilize the possible legal means, and then seek the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And do not fail. وَلَا تَعْجَلْ. Don't be lazy. Make an effort. What if things do not come as you wish? فَإِنْ أَصَابَكَ شَيْءٌ فَلَا تَقُلْ لَوْ. Don't say, if I have done such and such thing, it would have been different. Because saying if, it would open the door to Satan. Rather say, قدر الله وما شاء فعل. Allah has decreed, and whatever He decided, whatever He will, He did. It's all up to Him. But we make an effort. In the same line, look at this beautiful example. In order to help us comprehend the concept of changing our condition. How many of us would love to read the Quran fluently and with a melodious voice such as Sheikh Mufti Mink? Everybody would love to. What did you exactly do in order to learn how to recite the Quran properly? Or even memorize the Quran? Not much other than the wish. There will never be any change. You will not achieve that. How many of those who smoke, whenever somebody asks him to quit smoking, and say, just pray for me. Okay, I will pray for you. But besides praying for you, you have to take the initiative. You have to do something about it. If you're not doing anything about it, then it will not simply be achieved. Accordingly, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us this beautiful example about the man who killed 99 people. And he wanted to repent. And as you know that, because the hadith is long and brief, he was directed to a scholar, and the scholar advised him that your tawbah will be accepted, but you have to prove that you're sincere in your intention. You have to take an action. You have to take the initiative. He said, how? He said, you have to leave your hometown. It's a bad place. A place in which You managed to kill 100 people and no one objected. It must be very evil. So he decided to do so. He packed up. As he left, once he left his city, the angel of death came and he took his soul and he died. Then the two sets of angels descended. Each party wanted to claim his soul. The angels of mercy wanted to take his soul to heaven because he repented. And the angels of punishment claimed that he should be sent to hell because he did not do a single good deed in his life. Rather, he killed 100 people. And he disputed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent an angel who disguised as a human being to judge between them and resolve this dispute. What happened? He said, measure the distance between his body versus his hometown and the distance between his body and the town in which he was planning to immigrate. And as I mentioned earlier, that he was closer to his hometown, but because his repentance was sincere, and he took an action, he planned, and he acted upon his plan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the earth to expand the distance between his body and his hometown, and to shrink the distance between his body and the new town through which he is going to repent and live among righteous people, and eventually his soul had been taken to heaven. Why? Because he took an action. He took the initiative. He wanted to change. And it was not just mere wish. Rather, he was serious about it. Those who say, I would love to quit smoking. Those who keep claiming, I'd like to stop surfing the bad sites, watching the bad movies. I would love to be able to lower my gaze. What did you actually do? What did you actually do in order to achieve so? In reality, not much. But in order to achieve this and to change to the better, you have to be serious. You have to do something about it. And the glad tidings lies in this hadith in which the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrated that Allah the Almighty said, مَنْ تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ شِبْرًا تَقَرَّبْتُ إِلَيْهِ ذِرَاعًا وَمَنْ تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ ذِرَاعًا تَقَرَّبْتُ إِلَيْهِ بَاعًا. Whoever draws near to me a handspan, a few inches, I will draw near to him an arm's length. And whoever draws near to me an arm's length, I will draw near to him double the distance. And whoever comes towards me walking, I shall come towards him rushing. You just take the initiative. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will magnify your work and will bless it. And will bless you in it, and will make you successful, if you're serious about it. In the beginning we say, everybody is looking for a change. Everybody, normal people, whether their concern is worldly, or with regards to improving their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The true believers who act upon the hadith which says, احرص على ما ينفعك, واستعن بالله ولا تعجز. You understand that also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whenever you guys ask Allah for paradise, you should ask Him for what? For al-Firdaus al-A'la. Al-Firdaus al-A'la is the highest place in heaven. The core and the highest and the topmost part of al-Jannah. فَإِنَّهُ أَعْلَى الْجَنَّةِ وَأَوْسَطُهَا. Do not just settle for, I hope I shall enter paradise. Even from the window. No, rather ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be in the topmost part. Keep aiming high. Accordingly, once the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was addressing the companions and he said, من أصبح اليوم صائما? Who's fasting today? Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased, Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, raised his hand and said, I'm fasting, Ya Rasulullah. He said, and who gave any charity today? Abu Bakr delivered the same answer. رضي الله عنه. Who visited a sick Muslim today? It was Abu Bakr as well. Who followed a funeral today? Again it was Abu Bakr. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, ما اجتمعنا في امرئ إلا أدخلنه الجنة. Whenever these good qualities happen to be in one person, they shall make him enter paradise. That's why now we comprehend why when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was talking about that heaven has eight gates. Has eight gates. There is a gate for the fasting person, which is known as Babul Rayyan. And another gate for the charitable ones, for the martyrs, for this and for that. So the fasting people would be called upon on the Day of Judgment to enter from the gate of Ar-Rayyan, the martyrs to enter Al-Jannah from the gate of Ash-Shuhada, etc. The most amazing question came from Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, may Allah be pleased with him. The man with a high zeal, the man with a very strong determination, not just to enter Al-Jannah. Rather he said, Ya Rasulullah, will there be anyone who will be called upon to enter Al-Jannah from the eight gates? He said, most certainly, Ya Abu Bakr, and I hope that it will be you. In an indication that Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu will be called upon to enter Al-Jannah from the eight gates. The gates of heaven will compete with the guys inviting Abu Bakr al-Siddiq to enter Al-Jannah from. You want to achieve this status? You have to work for it. Earlier today during Khutbatul Jumu'ah, I mentioned a fact. Every single time in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the believers with the reward which He has prepared for them. Inseparable from that, He says, آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Believe and did good righteous deeds. Not just believe. Reward in heaven was not only for, and it is not only for amanu, believe. But they verified their iman via action. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ كَانَتْ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ نُزُلًا خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا لَا يَبْغُونَ عَنْهَا حِوَلًا إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Every single time there is a word for the believers, it is attached with وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. An area of competition. It isn't sufficient to say, I believe in Allah, or I love Allah, or I would love to change to the better. Would you love to memorize the Quran? Would you love to recite the Quran beautifully, as I mentioned earlier? Take these two beautiful examples. One day, where I used to live and work in a medical community in Texas. In the evening, we'll get together in the masjid, we'll do halqa. Mainly non-Arab speakers, bunch of doctors, and people are working in the medical field, and everyone would take turns and recite the Quran, and I would correct them. I saw one person who moved recently to the community, he was a reverse. I saw his eyes were overflowing with tears. I asked him, what's wrong? He said, I envy you guys. I would love to recite the Quran as fluent and as beautiful as you do. I wish I can attend the halqa with you, but I don't even know the Arabic alphabet. So I sense his sincerity, and I know how busy is every one of us. I said, well, if there is a will, there is a way. You really want to learn how to recite the Quran as we do? He said, of course I would love to. We did not have any other time other than getting together before the Fajr prayer. A few minutes before Fajr, or a few minutes after Fajr, depending on the season. It only took us 6 months, brothers and sisters. 6 months for this American guy who had recently accepted Islam. After 6 months, he surprised everybody else. He was sitting in the halqa, reciting the Quran with the proper tajweed, fluently, without accent, as if he was born an Arab. And he gave me a gift. He wrote down all the surahs of the Qur'an which he memorized and recited, memorized by the heart fluently. And he wrote them, his own handwriting, transcribed the Qur'an as if it is a copy of the Qur'an. There is a will. And there is an action. There is an initiative. Then there is a way. You have to plan for it. If you fail to plan, then once again, you plan to fail. In my recent trip to Japan, The very first Japanese family I visited, very beautiful family. The brother said, who is a professor at the university, he introduced his son, who is only 4 years old. The father and the mother are reversed. And the son, who is 4 years old, surprised me saying that he has memorized 2 paras of the Quran. 2 paras. I said, really? He said, yes. I said, recite. And I asked him to recite, and he recited Surah Al-Haqqa. I asked him to recite. And I captured that on video, and I put it on my personal Facebook page. Wallahi, it is so amazing that both parents do not know Arabic. Both parents are reversed. How did he manage that? I asked him. He said, my wife sits on the computer and she listens to the recitation. She copies and she teaches our 2 sons. SubhanAllah, it's so amazing how they made an effort and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala magnified their word for their effort. Their 4 years only son has memorized 2 paras while we have many others who live in amongst Muslims, obviously also born and raised Muslims. In Muslim countries, they achieve none. Why? Because they settle for what they are. And the only thing they wanted to do, as the Sheikh said, the target to make 1 million. And once they hit the target, they double it, they triple it, and none stop. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in this regard, ta'isa abdu dinar, وعبد الدرهم وعبد الخميصة وعبد القصيفة. May he perish. The one who enslaved himself to the dollar, to the dirham, to the dinar, he's only living after money. The improvement that he makes only with regards to the dunya. SubhanAllah. Also the Shaykh reminded us to the hadith, أعمار أمتي بين الستين والسبعين فقليل منهم من يجوز ذلك. The lifespan of my ummah, the members of my ummah, between 60 to 70 years. And very few cross the age. Do you know that if you sleep 8 hours a day average, that means 20 years out of the 60, for a person who would live for 60 years, 20 years are off the record. And until the age of puberty, that is also off the record, approximately 15 years. And another several years eating and drinking and answering the call of nature. So what is left for you to build up an asset of good deeds in order to be qualified to be in paradise? To serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not much. Not more than 15 years actually. And we think it is too much. SubhanAllah, people deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a part-time job. I have witnessed some people who plan their Hajj, even though they are financially capable and physically able, saying that, inshallah, when Hajj coincides the Christmas vacation, I shall go to perform a Hajj. Do you have any assurance that you're going to survive and live till you witness Hajj? And Umar ibn Khattab, may Allah be pleased with him, said, من استطاع أن يحج فلم يفعل فلا عليه أن يموت يهوديا أو نصرانيا. Whoever can afford to perform Hajj and does not do it, let him die as a Jew or as a Christian. SubhanAllah. Allah blesses with so many blessings, with countless blessings. The least that we should give gratitude and thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by observing our duties to Him properly, by trying to change the better, by trying to approach closer and closer to Him. And the strategy of changing ourselves after having the proper plan is to do it steady, on a regular basis. It doesn't matter even if it is slow and little by little. In the hadith which is narrated by Aisha radiallahu anha, she said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, what is the best deed, Ya Rasulullah? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's answer was, أَدْوَمُهُ وَإِنْ قَلْ. The best deed, the one which is consistent, even if it is a little. And look at our practices. Sometimes you get fired up. You want to pray at night? You pray for a couple hours, once and you quit. It would be better if you observe this on a regular basis, double rakah, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, then you can increase it later on. You want to fast, voluntary fasting. Begin by fasting 3 days of every month, 13th, 14th, and 15th. Or perhaps Mondays and Thursdays. Do not take it hard upon yourself, lest you quit entirely. Similarly, you want to learn how to recite the Qur'an, how to memorize the Qur'an, you want to learn how to become a scholar. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ بِالتَّعَلُّمُ. No one was born learned. No one found himself a scholar all of a sudden. After the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died, Abdullah ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, he was approximately 13, 14 years old when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this life. And he was the Prophet's cousin. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once prayed for him. He said, Allahumma faqihu fi al-deen wa'allimhu al-ta'wil. O Allah, make him comprehend his deen and teach him the interpretation of the Quran. Make him a scholar. He did not settle for this invocation. He made an effort. You wanted to change to the better. You know what happened? One of his companions said, Abdullah ibn Abbas said to me, let's go to the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and learn from them the hadith. He said, what for? He said that we can comprehend the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his statement. So he said to him, ya ibn Abbas, do you think that people would ever be in need for you and your knowledge while all the great companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are still alive? So he neglected that. While Abdullah ibn Abbas would go at noon, before noon, and after noon to any of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who have learned something from him, and would even lie down in front of his door. And the wind will blow sand and dust over his head, wait for him until he wakes up so that he can study with him one of the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The time goes by, and this person who slowed down and showed no interest and tried to slow down Abdullah ibn Abbas said, I have seen Abdullah ibn Abbas when people were surrounding him and everybody was asking him and he was answering everybody. إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ بِالتَّعَلُّمُ وَإِنَّمَا الْحِلْمُ بِالتَّحَلُّمُ وَإِنَّمَا الصَّبْرُ بِالتَّصَبُّرُ. This hadith is an amazing hadith. It destroys the theories of psychology which say that it is in the gene. Some people say, I have a very bad temper. Why? I was born like that. My dad is like that. It's in the family. I can't change. False. This hadith destroys the theory. Even if it is in the gene, it is changeable. How? Sabr bit tasabbur. You want to be a patient person. You want to be a tolerant person. Besides making dua, you have to train yourself to be patient. You have to train yourself by testing your tolerance and keeping in mind that you are in the process of changing yourself. You are in the process of having better manners. You are in the process of drawing nearer and nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and most definitely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not let you down. Rather, Allah will magnify your work and will bless your effort. Why? Because this is the promise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You want to be a scholar of fiqh or hadith or Quran? Very simple. You don't have to dedicate your entire life to do so. You can be an MD. You can be a successful engineer. You can be whatever. And meanwhile, learn your deen, especially by making an effort. I often hear from people that inshallah, once I retire, I will start learning the Quran. Once I retire, I will start praying the Nawafil. Once I retire, who gives you an assurance that you're going to make it to retirement? Who? Seize opportunity. As in the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, اغتنم خمسا قبل خمس. Seize opportunity of five before other five overtake you. One of them is the opportunity of your life before your death, the opportunity of your health before you get sick, the opportunity of your richness before you turn poor, the opportunity of your youth before you get old, to seize these opportunities and do not postpone. The worst affliction that can afflict a person is as-seen wa sawfa. In Arabic, as-seen wa sawfa means I shall, I will, one day in the future. Why not now? Why not now? You're planning to change? You're planning to quit smoking? The sisters, you're planning on wearing hijab? Why didn't you do it right now? Aren't you convinced? Aren't you convinced that smoking kills? Aren't you convinced that every time you serve those bad, evil fights, you get sick and tired of yourself? You get ashamed of yourself? Yes. So why don't you quit? I can't. No, you can. It's simply that you don't want to. And the secret is in the strength of iman. المؤمن القوي خير وأحب إلى الله من المؤمن الضعيف. The powerful believer is better and dearer to Allah than the weak one. Subhanallah. Make an effort. إن الله لا يضيع أجر من أحسن عملا. Allah does not waste the work and the reward of those who do good. And look at the last ayah of Surah Al-Ankabut, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. As for those who struggle for our sake, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to change to the better, to increase their iman, to bring themselves closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised, we shall guide them to our way, to the straight path. Because indeed, Allah is with the good doers. With regards to changing the condition of the entire community and the entire ummah at large. I recall here a beautiful statement attributed to Amir al-Mu'mineen Umar ibn Khattab, may Allah be pleased with him, in which he said, لَقَدْ كُنَّا أَذَلَّ النَّاسِ فَأَعَزَّنَ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ فَمَهْمَا ابْتَغَيْنَا الْعِزَّ فِي غَيْرِهِ أَذَلَّنَا اللَّهُ. We used to be the most inferior people, the most humiliated and disgraced nation. And Allah made us mighty, powerful, and made us dignified because of Islam. No matter where we seek dignity and power in other than Islam, we will never find it. Rather, we will return back to humiliation and disgrace. That is the bottom line. For this ummah to be successful, to be victorious, to be superior, to be the upper hand, we have to adhere and stick to our deen. That's it. There is no other alternative. A beautiful example the Quran drives with regards to the change stemming from iman is the story of the Pharaoh with the sorcerers. When the Pharaoh brought about 70,000 sorcerers to challenge Musa alayhi salam, and he accused them with sorcery, he asked him, أَإِنَّ لَنَا لَأَجْرًا إِن كُنَّا نَحْنُ الْغَالِبِينَ, as in Surah Al-Shu'ara. Would you pay us if we overcome him, if we are the winners? He said, of course. وَإِنَّكُمْ إِذَا لَّمِنَ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ. قَالَ نَعَمْ وَإِنَّكُمْ إِذَا لَّمِنَ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ. Of course I will pay you, and you will be very near to me. You will be my chosen people. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Musa alayhi salam to ask them to throw their sticks. Then he threw his stick which devoured all the fake snakes. فَأُلْقِيَ السَّحَرَةُ سَاجِدِينَ. All the sorcerers prostrated themselves in compliance, in belief, saying, آمَنَّا بِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ رَبِّ مُوسَى وَهَارُونَ. We definitely believe in the Lord of everything that exists. They only know about him that he is the Lord of Musa and Harun, the Lord of Moses and Aaron. The Pharaoh said, how could you believe in him without my permission? I shall cut your hands and feet from opposite. لَأُخَطِّعَنَّ أَيْدِيَكُمْ وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ مِنْ خِلَافٍ وَلَأُصَلِّبَنَّكُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. And I shall pacify you all. Subhanallah. From looking for a worldly, earthly reward for some money. Now to being threatened with death. To be crucified. To cut their hands and feet from opposite. What did they say? قالوا لن نؤثرك على ما جاءنا من البينات والهدى. فقضي ما أنت قاض. إنما تقضي هذه الحياة الدنيا. Decide whatever you want to decide. You'd only decide concerning the life of this world. We recognize our true creator. And we will never give up on our faith, even if it would cost us our life. This is what we need to focus on. We need to focus on the fact that we have a very short period of time to live around. And we have to utilize this time to the best of our ability. Put our trust in Allah, perfect reliance on Him, along with utilizing the possible legal means in order to improve ourselves, in order to be better, less. And I say this hadith to the last. If you remember in the beginning, I mentioned that change was referred to the Quran in two ayahs. Ayah number 11 of Surah Al-Ra'a, in one of its segments. And then ayah number 53 of Surah Al-Anfal, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ذَلَكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَمْ يَكُمْ مُغَيِّرًا نِعْمَةً أَنْعَمَهَا عَلَى قَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُوا مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. This is because Allah is never going to change a favor which He conferred upon Him, upon a people, unless if they change themselves. يعني, Allah would not deprive people from a favor which He conferred upon them, unless if they change to the worse. If they change to the better, they will be blessed more and more. As in ayah number 96 of Surah Al-A'raf, وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلَكِنْ كَذَّبُوا فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. If the people of the cities were to believe and keep their duties to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, would have most certainly opened for them the blessings from the heavens and the earth. You want your provision to increase? Change yourself to the better. Improve your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You and your life stand to increase. It is in the hadith. Uphold the ties of your kinship. Improve yourself. Improve your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your ni'am will be preserved and you will gain more. And that is the promise of Allah in the Quran. But look at this hadith, which comes in line with ayah number 53 of Surah Al-Anfal. Abdullah ibn Umar ibn Khattab, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once warned them against five things. Because of the evil consequences of these five evil things, he said, مَا فَسَتِ الْفَاحِشَةُ فِي قَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُعْلِنُوا بِهَا إِلَّا فَسَ فِيهُمُ الطَّاعُونَ والأوجاع التي لم تكن في أسلافهم الذين مضوا. Whenever evil, particularly illicit relations, becomes so widespread in a nation or in a community, as a result of that, the direct consequence is the widespread of plague, contagious diseases, which were not known before. Humanity did not know about AIDS and sexual transmitted diseases. But whenever it has become so widespread, the illicit relationship, the illegal sexual relations, it is the direct consequence of that. And also, whenever they cheat in selling and buying, in weighing, in business transactions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would afflict them with hardship, would afflict them with difficulty. And Allah would also afflict them with being oppressed by the rulers. And whenever they prevent their zakah, Allah will prevent the rain from coming down from heaven. Had it not been only for the cattle, they would not get a drop of rain. As a result of what? As a result of preventing the zakah. And furthermore, the Prophet ﷺ also warned in this hadith Whenever they betrayed the covenant with Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah will drive against the enemies who will confiscate some of what they already had to occupy their properties and to humiliate them. And whenever the rulers do not judge according to the book of Allah, إِلَّا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ بَأْسَهُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ شَدِيدٌ, Allah will cause them to fight amongst each other. These are the evil consequences of the evil activities, of the change to the worse, to the gambar, the change to the better. And we hope to follow that, inshaAllah. And we constantly should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change our conditions to the better, plan and act upon our plans, and seek the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to undermine the significance and the power of the sharpest weapon, which is ad-du'a. Allahumma ahdina fi man hadayt, wa'afina fi man afayt, وتولنا في من توليت وقنا واصرف عنا شر ما قضيت اللهم أصلح شأننا في الأمور كلها وأجرنا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة اللهم هيئ لنا من أمرنا رشدا واجعلنا من عبيدك السعدا ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وسلام على المرسلين وصلى الله على سيد الأولين والآخرين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وجزاكم الله خيرا.